Did you know that the tech industry is transforming the way lawyers work, making legal services more accessible and efficient? Legal tech, law tech, tech law, many terms and roles arise. How can we marry these two fields in today's professional world? In this episode, we sit with Michelle A. Nkansa, who elaborates on the legal tech industry and how the world of technology intersects with it. He has not only navigated the legal tech landscape, but is also an active evangelist in this space, and he believes that lawyers can leverage technology to work better. Enjoy today's episode. This episode is brought to you by Big Spark. Big Spark is the UK's fastest growing data solutions consultancy, translating your business needs into data architecture, strategy, and engineering. Together with their technical partners, they focus on swift and efficient business value delivery. Taking an innovative approach to every challenge, Big Spark is an agile team of over 100 world-class engineers and data scientists pushing the boundaries of what can be achieved with AI, data, software, cloud, and machine learning. To find out how Big Spark can ignite your data solution, visit us at www.bigspark.dev. Big Spark, igniting change through engineering. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the TechSafe podcast. I am your host, Raymond Cluche, where we navigate today's tech way one electrifying conversation at a time. Today, I have
a brilliant guest
with us to talk about an area that I just got to know of whilst on LinkedIn to, you know, delve into it a bit more and then find out how people in this space or the intersection of this space can leverage this opportunity to accelerate their careers. So without further ado, I'll let Michael go ahead and introduce himself.
Hi, Ramon. Very nice to meet you and very glad to be on your podcast. I've listened quite a number of times and it's a very good podcast for anyone interested in tech. My name is Michelle. I'm a product manager, self-taught product manager, but I have a strong legal background. I have done my first degree in law, mastered the law. But currently, I work at LawTech UK. LawTech UK is a government agency at the Ministry of Justice where we aim to transform the UK legal sector with technology. And I'm a program coordinator on the program at LawTech UK. So my career has been a background of product management, law. I've worked across almost 8 tech companies or tech products. So that is my background and who I am.
Right. Okay. So first and foremost, I'd like to apologize. I called you Michael, but then I just got the right pronunciation. It is Michelle. Apologies for that. Okay. So let's talk a bit about law. You know, I have a friend of mine who is a lawyer and he wanted to become a lawyer. He didn't get into the LLB, right, for his like bachelor's, but he's always known he wanted to be a lawyer. Now he's a practicing lawyer. What was the journey like for you? When did you know that you had to be a lawyer or you thought about being a lawyer?
Oh, this is a big question, but I'll try and make it short. I think I'm one of those people whose parents want them to be lawyers rather than me, myself, wanting to be a lawyer. Okay. And so I'm a mobile. I went to Franz Bim School.
The best school, though, in case you're listening.
Yeah, there's only one school in Ghana. And yeah. I studied general science, so I had no sense of doing law. But at that time, I wanted to do petroleum engineering, but I didn't get a chance to do that because that's what my interests were at the time.
Right.
After uni, obviously, I wanted to get into University of Ghana, and I couldn't get in. So I was just thinking about what else I could do. And my parents were like, when you were young, we knew you could make arguments in the house. We think you can do law and all of that. So I'm one of those people who parents made them do law rather than doing the law myself. So I went to Central University, do my LLB. That's how my legal journey started. Obviously, I didn't go to Ghana School of Law. So after my LLB, that is when I started working. So I've worked for a few tech companies in Ghana.
Right.
Ghana's first legal tech company, Addins Technology. Their most popular product is Dennis Law. I was one of the first people who worked at a company to build Dennis Law. I've built a few products there. Moved to the UK to do my master's in international law. So I'm a big international law enthusiast. So when I was in uni, I did a lot of mooting for university in Central University. I represented Central University in JESOP. I also represent Central University in African Human Rights Moot Court. Right. So my parents again forced me to come and do something in law. But the tech has always been there. It has always been something I was teaching myself while I was in uni. I'm sure we will delve into more about the switch between law and tech, but that is my legal path, to LLM and still working in legal tech now.
Right, that's quite interesting. For me, I am a bit curious about law. Maybe someday I will find myself reading an LLM or an LLB or become something of that. But every time I hear someone say they are a lawyer, I always think about people wearing the gown and then the cap and everything. That is all that I think about until I had more interactions with people who are lawyers, and I got to know about something called a solicitor. I was like, okay, so there's actually the solicitor and a barrister, so they're different. Then you get into the space and then you realize that, okay, there's actually a whole lot of other roles that are in the legal space. I'm just curious, like, why didn't you just maybe go down a traditional legal route and just, you know, become a solicitor, a barrister after your LLB?
So the reason why I didn't go that route was back in uni, I had a friend, Paul, and after one class, I told Paul that I don't think I need to be in this law class because I felt like everything around law was boring to me. It is not boring, but it was boring to me. So whether I was going to practice the law as a barrister or solicitor, in Ghana, you do both.
Right.
I wasn't really interested in the law. So I was just doing the LLB just to finish the degree rather than thinking about pursuing a legal career. So very early in my education, I was really exploring alternative careers already. So I wasn't really looking for a law career. So eventually, I just thumbed on legal tech somewhere in second year or third year. So I was a vice president of the Central University Law Students Union. I was lucky enough to be the first batch of executives. So there was this problem students used to come to us a lot that we want cases, we want to access legal materials. My president and I, Samuel Buedu. And I used that to explore my career. So I started researching about how we can make people access legal cases with the internet. So my executives then built a very, very basic website for law students to just upload cases and ask them in Central University. It was that time, that's when I started exploring that there are so many careers within the legal industry, and I could do something around that.
I like that. So let's just stay on that, you know, on that topic of legal tech. So what is legal tech? This is the first time I'm actually hearing legal tech, if you can expand a little bit.
Yeah, so the word legal tech is a very complicated word now. I wouldn't want to define it because it's going through a lot of debates about what exactly legal tech is. But I would want to explain legal tech and law tech to your audience so that they have a fair idea what legal tech is and what law tech is. So legal tech is basically the technology tools that makes lawyers' life easier with their work. So, for example, legal research, any legal research database that you use is a legal tech tool. Whatever contract automation software a law firm uses is a legal tech tool. So every other tool that makes lawyers' life easier just to build on the work they are doing is a legal tech tool. So if you are within that sort of industry where you are building products or working with people building products, you are within the legal technology industry. Then there is law tech. The reason why I want to explain law tech is that law tech is more of a consumer-facing service. So if you are working within an industry where you are building product that benefits a consumer directly, i.e. a person or a citizen benefiting from that service directly, then it's a law tech product. In the tech world, we can easily say a B2C product, business to consumer product, is a law tech product. So if you are working within that industry, For example, somewhere in the US, there are legal marketplaces or websites where people can easily go on to go and get the services of a lawyer. When you go and use those legal marketplace websites, that's a law tech industry. But the lawyers who are using a legal tech product themselves to help you as a client, in that way, that is legal technology. The definitions are going through a lot of debate. From where I sit, this is how best I can explain to you that those are two different paths. And I'm sure with our conversation, I can go on and build on what either of them can consist of.
Right. Okay. So first off, can anyone get into legal tech? Is it just for lawyers, or is just, you know, another tech sphere that anyone who has technical skills can enter?
Absolutely. I'll break something to you. I've been in the industry for 5 to 6 years now, from Ghana down to the UK. I've worked with almost the top people in the market. The UK market is the largest in the world, legal tech market in the world. And say that 90% of the people I've met in the industry do not have legal backgrounds.
Okay.
You do not need any specific educational background to get into legal tech. That is to answer your question. We are at the very early stages of the industry, right? So we are at, some people say that we are at where fintech was 10 years ago.
Right.
This is like the best time to get in. This is like the best time to sort of learn a skill that can get you in. I can break the skill in subsequent questions you ask, but just to top of that on the answer, there is no LLB program within even, let me put it, within the African ecosystem that say that there are some people who teach in information technology courses. Legal tech model has not been developed within any African law university at the moment. There are some universities in the world who are exploring some models around technology law. There are not even more than 10 universities in the world offering legal technology masters. So it is not an industry where at this stage you will say you need an educational background to get in, but it takes some skills and some dedication to get in.
Right. Let's first talk about the technical skills, right? The technical skills required for someone to get into legal tech. If you can just expound maximum five, what are the top five skills to get into legal tech?
Right. Before I go on to the skills, I would say that if you want to get into legal tech, right, treat it as a normal technology industry.
Right.
So many roles within the technology industry, and all those roles apply in the legal tech industry.
Okay.
If you want to be a product manager, all the skills that you need to be a product manager, people management, your curiosity, the empathy for the things you build, we have product managers in the legal tech world. Right. If you want to be a product designer, UI designer, your design skills, everything is the same within the legal tech world. The only extra layer I would want to go with the skills is that within law firms, maybe I would explain this here now. Within law firms, there is something that have now come up called legal operations.
Okay. Right?
So every law firm, or most of the top law firms now, have set up a legal ops team, or sort of an innovation team. And within these innovation teams, you don't have to only be a tech person to be able to work in there.
Right.
You need to have a legal background because you are working within a law firm.
Right.
So some of the law firms require at least you have legal education.
Okay.
And they don't specify whether it's an LLB or an LLM. They just say you need to have some legal education before you have, on top of that, your tech skills. So to answer your question, you need the general tech skills to work in legal tech. But if you want to work within innovation teams or legal ops within law firms, then you need to have a legal background.
Right. You did mention earlier that you worked at Dennis Law, right? You helped building their legal database and all that. Unfortunately, every time such great innovations come up, Africa is seen to be lagging because of maybe our approach to innovation and also the resources available to us to accelerate our growth. Where you stand at the moment, I know you said Dennis Law, and I'm sure it's a small use case in this, in that sense, or in the small sphere of legal tech. is Africa ready for legal tech? Or yeah, legal tech, to be fair.
I would say no.
Okay.
And it was not just Africa. I think in the legal ecosystem, based on where I sit, 80% are not ready for legal tech. And this is based on how naturally lawyers are and how the lawyers are trained to be. Unquote, some say they are very conservative. It takes a lot to sort of introduce something new to a law firm. So I wouldn't answer the question saying Africa is not ready. 80% of like the ecosystem is not ready. So adoption or sort of adoption is very difficult. But I think with the craze about ChatGPT that happened in late 2022, a lot of them are changing now.
Right.
If you are generally looking at it within the last 5 years that I'm working in, most of them are not ready to adopt any tools.
All right. So how can we raise that awareness? You know, how can we make legal tech a more tantalizing, you know, area in the legal space to encourage people to embrace it more?
Right. I think the awareness for me is just one. Those who sell softwares to lawyers change how they sell softwares to lawyers. Okay. So they sell it in a way that we are bringing this to you to change your life. And that is where we think is wrong. You cannot change how somebody, a profession or somebody does their work. I think first of all, they need to go in there and sort of understand the processes that happen within the law firm. I'll give you one example. And this is not to withhold the company or the client's name. There was someone I worked with who never used the Google Suite, the Google Workspace. And they were doing all sort of things manually, but it took just a Google Drive to organize their entire operations within a law firm. And between me and you, you know Google Drive is a very basic thing. You don't need to sell a whole legal software to them to organize their files. Sometimes the basic things solve the problem. So I think the people who sell softwares to lawyers are the people who need to change the way they do it. They need to go in there and understand how they operate and see how best they can introduce that to them. And change is a very long process. It doesn't happen in one day. You can, first of all, educate them about how they can use a tool. I can give you another example. There's an industry within legal tech called contract lifecycle management. So basically, lawyers, most lawyers nowadays are no longer managing their contracts manually, but softwares that are managing these contracts. You don't just have to work in into a firm as a CLM company and say that our software will solve all your contracts problem, because it wouldn't. But you need to introduce some parts of the contract software to them that, okay, it can solve the exchange of offer between you and the other party. You can first of all share the agreement and sign. Then the next step, you think about how you can enforce the contract with dates and all of that. But mostly they sell everything to them and they will naturally resist.
Hello there, tech surfers. I have got some news for you. The Tech Surf podcast is now on Instagram and LinkedIn. Follow us on Instagram at the Tech Surf podcast and LinkedIn, the Tech Surf podcast, to stay up to date on new episodes and to get interactive. Don't forget to like, share, and send us feedback on your favorite episodes and the lessons you've learned. See you soon.
Speaking about software, I watched your video on Jenny AI, and you seem very passionate about it and how it could be of great benefit to people in the legal space, because you likened it to open source in the tech space. If you could just, you know, throw a bit of light to anyone listening to it, and how, and it's no marketing for Jenny AI, to be fair, but just, you know, how, like, why you find this tool very beneficial. I'm sure it's all around, you know. We're trying to be evangelists for legal tech, right? So let's just do a little bit of, you know, legal tech evangelism, create a bit of awareness if you can.
I will again put a disclaimer that I'm not doing marketing for Jenny AI. But this is no means a marketing for Jenny AI. And what they are doing, there are probably some other companies which I may not know of, But what they are doing is very unique. Open sourcing the law. Right. If you are within the tech industry, open source is very common. People build stuff, leave it on GitHub for people to use and all of that. What GenAI is using is open sourcing some of the things that they think lawyers should not keep.
Mm-hmm.
Get it? So in the lawyers know this better from your audience that every situation about a contract is different.
Right.
There are some basic things within it that never change. Right. So what GenAI is doing that all the basic things within the industry, which most law firms have been holding within their firms, they are bringing it to everyone to use. For example, with my video, I spoke about how you can set up a company in the UK, how you can sort of raise funding in the UK. There are some basic legal documents that will never change. If you are going from pre-seed to CE or wherever, those documents will remain the same. So if you are within this industry, they are making all of this free for you. And it goes on again to say that if you live in Africa, for example, I'm Ghanaian, and you want to access any legal documents in the UK, if you have not paid for a service, again, I'm not doing marketing for a company. So for example, if you've not subscribed to LexisNexis to get access to their database, you may not find those documents anywhere. But some of the documents these softwares put on there are very basic. So you can be in Ghana and still find GenAI very useful to you. And this is not just for a reference sake. It can help you build on whatever research that you are doing. And they have also put there, like what I saw the other time about 600 templates for a startup is very wild.
Wow. Now,
they did an estimation to say that all the 600 templates that they've put there, if you are seeking legal services to get them, it will cost you £75,000. And if you can get these for free, that is when the conversation comes up that, you know what, technology is a threat to the work of lawyers and all of them. But I am not of that view. There is no way that's going to take a lawyer's job. You will still need a lawyer to look at those documents for you. And what GenAI is also doing, just to finish on that, is that they are not open sourcing those documents for the ordinary person. That is the difference. So if you are not a lawyer or someone with a legal background, don't think you are going to GenAI to go and pick a
contract. Start up your whole company and just go and, okay, so how did you like, so your terms and conditions all are just from GenAI without necessarily having proofread.
Making lawyers' life easier.
Right.
A software developer going to GitHub to get something for free. If you are a developer, you cannot use anything on Git. So that's the workaround open sourcing the law.
Speaking about Git, you just mentioned you seem to be very, very much in a very nice techie space. Do you, by any chance, you know, have any hard tech skills like programming, infrastructure, anything of that sort?
You know what? I taught myself how to code.
Okay.
I have only built something for myself. I haven't built anything for any client because when I was teaching myself, I realized my stronghold or my biggest skill was managing a team. So I realized that there is no way I was going to continue on that path. So I'm naturally a product manager, but I don't use any of the skills I've learned or any work that I've done.
Okay. A bit of a breather question. If you were stopped by a random person, they asked you, Michelle, are you a lawyer or product manager? What's going to be your response?
So, do you want a very direct answer or just...
Just go for it.
You know what? If I'll take it in two ways. If the person, just to break the, make it more lively, if the person is my family member, I would say I'm a lawyer. But if you are just a random person, I'll just tell you I'm a product manager. Right. And you obviously understand why I'm saying I'm a lawyer because... Right. My family would prefer me being a lawyer than a product manager. But obviously, I am not someone I try to identify myself as someone trying to, even when I get my license, I don't think I'll ever use any of the law titles. I still prefer my product manager. And whether I'm going to grow in that, I'll still prefer growing in the tech rather than the law. So I prefer to be known as a product manager rather than someone in the legal field.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. And how has your experiences in law and tech had a great impact in your life? If you just put them out. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the impact is still within my career. So I'll start from the law. If I had not studied law, right, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Okay.
Because everything I am doing now at where I work is because I have a strong legal background.
Right.
If I didn't have that legal foundation, I would probably not sort of explore tech that much. So I think I took an advantage of a very big gap in the industry.
Right.
So I saw it very early, like somewhere 2016, 2017, that, you know what, and this is also on the back of when I realized there were not enough jobs in Ghana.
Right.
So I realized that if I pursue this path, there was no way I was going to be unemployed.
Okay.
And I have never been unemployed since I started this career. So law has helped me, and the tech side of it, of course, has made life very easy. I have never worked in an office in more than 4 years. I've worked remotely for 4 years now. I don't think I'm ever going to work in an office space. And that has given me a lot more freedom. And as a tech person, as yourself, the tech industry is such very lively, and the vibes it creates and sort of the environment that people allow you to grow in. I am not saying you cannot grow within a legal career, but I think if you compare both, you can grow more in a tech career quicker and faster than growing in the legal career. So I feel both have had a huge impact in my life, but the law is more, because if I didn't study the law, I wouldn't be where, and the opportunity presented itself at the right time when I was studying the law.
Right. Okay. Now, I'm sure you're working in an area where you're working in tech, and it's quite a very, okay, so you're a product manager, so you're working in tech, but then you have legal background. How do you avoid giving free legal advice to your friends and family?
Again, I will put it here that apart from my parents, I have never given any legal advice to anyone before.
Okay.
So every single time I refer people to my friends, like I refer them even when I know what they want, because I just don't want to continue on the process. There is no way you will give an advice to somebody that the person will not come back.
Yeah,
and the second time, I will not get the time for them.
And so, and the truth of the matter, like, I mean, the truth of the matter is people like pro bono stuff too. You know, they just want the free advice. And
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why I ran away from the law practice. Because I think I don't see any free job in tech. Everything is paid for. So there is more of a goodwill within lawyers to do stuff for free rather than it. But I don't give any sort of legal advice apart from my parents.
Right. Okay, that's nice. So how does the legal climate in the UK look like? Or how has it been for you in comparison to how it was in Ghana?
Very big difference, vast difference. I did my master's in the UK, and the experience I had in 1 year, this is also not to undermine the Ghanaian education system, but the experience I had in 1 year doing my master's was way better than the entire 4 years I did my LLB.
Right.
I think the approach of the education system was like great. You experience more of what you are trying to achieve, trying to learn. You feel the impact that they are giving to you. So benefits very huge in the UK. After my master's, I didn't go on to pursue the legal career in the UK, like being a solicitor or barrister. I didn't pursue that path. Right after my master's, I went straight into work. So, and right after that was tech. So I haven't explored anything further to sort of know how the solicitor's path and all of that. So I can only speak for my master's and nothing beyond that.
Right. Okay, so we'll be wrapping up shortly, but I just wanted to get a bit of insight. What do you think the future of legal tech is going to look like? I know technology is expanding. ChatGPT seems to be taking over everything, and there's always a new model out there, this GPT and all that. Let's just assume that Michelle is a prophet and he is speaking into the future. Or maybe let me rephrase the question. What do you look forward to in legal tech in a few years? I think it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's a very big question. And this answer might even defeat some of the things I write about, because I read a lot and I research a lot about the industry. So my ideas are always shifting, right? I have a newsletter called Lawyers Who Beat AI. Mm-hmm. I write to sort of...
I'll keep it in the description so you can read it.
Right. So I always argue that there is no way lawyers are going to be replaced by AI. But in the last 2 or 3 months, I have seen wildest things in AI in the legal tech industry. Mm-hmm. So my answer to that is that about 50% of the most basic jobs are going to be replaced in the industry. Mm-hmm. Right. Let me give you an example. So in a very typical law firm setup, mm-hmm. junior lawyers do very basic administrative jobs. Mm-hmm. They don't, like, first year or second, you don't get a chance to explore how you thought you were going to be like as a lawyer with it. And all those basic jobs that the junior lawyers do in their first and second year have now been completely changed with technology. Mm-hmm. Right. So from contract automation, like I said at the beginning, this has been totally changed. Mm-hmm. We have a proper law practice management software managing an entire law firm, right, which has changed the game. And there is something that is going to change the industry, like, in the future. Some of the Magic Circle law firms, and your audience will know who Magic Circle law firms are, the top law firms in the UK,
right,
they're hiring legal prompt engineers. Right. And you know what prompt engineering is.
Definitely.
If a firm, and I've seen three roles going up on the market for the last 3 months, and I looked at the job description and I was like, wow. And when Magic Circle starts, it's going to come down to the high street and it's going to go global.
Right.
If a firm is hiring a legal prompt engineer, you should be scared. Because what that person is going to do is that, and the person should also have a legal background.
Right.
That person is going to do a job of more than 10 junior lawyers work.
Right.
In the firm. Right. So that is one of the things that I am concerned about for the future. And that's where I think that if you are someone very early in your career, you should be ahead. And if you don't want to just practice the law and you still want to have some tech edge to what you do, you should be very far ahead of your game.
Right.
I'll give this for free. I think every lawyer should subscribe to ChatGPT-4. Not because it's good, you are going to pay some huge money, but to change the way you see ChatGPT, not the free version, the 4, you would really appreciate that it is not going to be how it is going to be in the future, because they keep improving how the promptings work. And I'm sure you've heard this before, that a lawyer in the US went to court with some scientists which were
ChatGPT was hallucinating.
And don't get me wrong, this is never going to be like that in the next 5 years.
Right.
Next 5 years, they are going to get a 99% accurate. And when Google Bard and Microsoft came into the industry, I use Bard more than GPT now. It is, like, very, very scary to say. So I would just say that what I'm thinking is, in the future, if you are going to be a lawyer on top of your game, or in tech, sorry, then you should take prompt engineering very seriously, because that is where everybody's heading towards now.
Actually, I actually like the fact that you brought this up, because in one of the episodes, I think the first episode with Will AI Replace Me, we were talking about this, you know, trying to debate, you know, will AI really replace me and all that. And then we actually came to a conclusion that the goal of AI is actually what replace human intelligence. So everything that has some form of, you know, intense, you know, requirement to retain information in the human brain, if AI can, you know, simplify that entire process, then it's most likely that that entire process was going to be replaced by that artificial agent. And people are like, okay, you know, it's not really going to be true and all that. And then we were debating the whole issue about ChatGPT hallucinating and spewing up a law that did not exist. But then Joel, who was in the first episode, clearly said that, yes, maybe ChatGPT 3 was not perfect. 4 is still lagging. But then, as we all know how machine learning works, you know, it gets better by more of what information it has received over a period of time to make better predictions. So the more data we are generating, the more it's seeing different kinds of cases and everything. Eventually, you end up having a an assistant that actually can even, you know, talk to you a bit more like realistic lawyer. Like I see, like you have like a lawyer right in front of you. So that is actually, so my goal, especially even for this podcast, is to, you know, I know there are a lot of fears around, you know, AI replacing people, and that's perfectly fine. No one wants to be, you know, made redundant or be laid off. But then how can you, you know, position yourself for this wave? How can you, you know, kick it up a notch? How can you make sure that as you're progressing in your career, you're also not lagging behind in a lot of things? I want you to conclude, right? I think we've said a lot, and I think it's going to be beneficial to a lot of people in different spaces. I want you to give the best advice you can give to both a techie and a lawyer back at home in Ghana, especially because here in the UK, it seems like things are going quickly. So I want you to first give your best advice. And I think most of the time, whenever it comes to giving advice, people can only by reward reflect on what they would have done better if they had an opportunity. So if there's any best advice you can give to a young lawyer, someone who's actually in the program, or maybe about to graduate, just any good advice you can give to them. I know you said ChatGPT, but any concrete advice you can give to a junior lawyer, then after that you can segue it with a techie, and then we can conclude.
Right. So I'll go to the lawyer first, maybe one or two or three. First is that you need to teach yourself a lot about legal tech. There are no legal tech courses designed properly for how the industry is working. But there are so many courses on the internet. I don't know how best you can get these resources from me or from your podcast, but there is a way to find them on Google easily. Just do a proper keyword search, legal tech courses, self-learn. Like, just get to know what legal tech is, law tech is. That is like very basic. The second thing I would say is internships, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that I learned a lot very early in Ghana because I was given the room to my company at Dennis Law, and I learned a lot there. Like, I have a lot of credit for them for everything I've been able to do now. As a lawyer or very early graduate or law student, explore, and now remote make life easy. Explore legal tech companies and do cold emailing and cold messaging. So just say you want to intern there, right? You don't necessarily have to say you want to do internship as a product manager, UI. But when you get in there, maybe just as a research person, you explore what is going on. Maybe you find something. I don't think everybody should be a PM. Everybody should be a developer. But there are so many roles within a company. And one thing about tech roles, you know better, is the titles are just titles. The job itself is always different from the title. So one is explore courses, explore internships. Give you a trick up on internships. So this is also not an ad. There's a website called legaltechnologyhub.com. Legaltechnologyhub.com has all the legal tech companies in the world, almost 600 of them there. They have segmented the website into areas on so e-discovery, legal research, contract automation, all of that. So you can just use that directory to check out companies and cold email them, cold message them, go to their LinkedIn, find the founder, the CEO, and say you want to, you are based in Ghana, you want to land, you cold messaging is a skill, but you find your way around. Those are my top two tips for somebody who wants to get into this. The tech side is that there is nothing special about, sorry to put this, but there's nothing special about the legal professional law. I don't think if you're a techie, you can't get into law, because I said earlier that all the rules in tech industries apply same in law. So if you are someone looking and the law excites you, get into the Legal Technology Hub website as well. Try and see how best you can use your technical skills in tech to find a role there. And again, Y Combinator, for your audience, you will know Y Combinator. Y Combinator is one of the easiest places to find early stage startups who are hiring. Because when these guys come out, they have got so much enthusiasm, so much money, and they want to hire. So if you're techie, you can also go on to Y Combinator. Don't just explore legal tech companies. So there's another, sorry before I go on, there's so many within our industry, But there is a legal tech and there is a reg tech. So reg tech is regulatory technology. Right. So reg tech, those people involved in compliance stuff, KYC and all of that within these fintech companies, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them are doing a little bit of legal tech, but 80% of their work are reg tech. As a techie, don't just look at the legal tech companies on Y Combinator. Look at the reg tech guys, the fintech guys. Look at their compliance and see, okay, I want to just get in here and learn. And whether you can get a role, fine. But if you can get an internship, mostly don't go for money because very few people bet on their startups with you, pay you that they want to pay you. But if you can do it for a year, 6 months, don't get me also wrong on this. I have not say official mentorship, but I have spoken to not less than 50 people within the last year.
Right. And
20 of them are now in various legal tech companies.
Right.
And this same hack I just gave you is the same thing I've told them on various calls.
Right.
It has worked for them. So this is me telling you about who, what I've done for someone within law and what a tech person can also do.
And that's nice. I think in everyone's career, everyone needs a good mentor. And from the way you've spoken and you've helped people, I believe you are a great mentor. Before I let you go, I left one question I was going to ask. You seem to be a busy person, but then you also seem to have also a very great life on social media. I know you like traveling and everything, but is there any other thing that you like doing that we don't know of? Maybe you play an issue. You like to sing like I do, or you probably...
Yeah, the people...
I don't know. You just go for it.
Yeah, the people close to me know I play football a lot. Mm. So I honestly wanted to be a footballer, but I guess I'm so prepared to allow you. But regardless, like, I play football. I think it's so religious to me that if I don't play football within a week, I am not okay.
Oh, wow.
So, no matter what happens in the week, I play not less than 4 times in a week.
I wish I could say same, unfortunately.
No matter how busy I am, like, I go evening, play with the boys. On weekend, I have one game I play. So I'm not always doing tech or law. Like, there's something else going. And I like music a lot. I'm always at one concert or the other.
Nice. So work-life balance, guys. Make sure that you don't just get buried into the legal tech or product management or whatever career you're in. Is very important to, you know, also understand that there's more to your life than your career. Michelle. I'll get it right this time. Michelle, thank you so much for this very short but very informative exposition, if I may, on legal tech. I've picked a few pointers, and even for me in my career and how I can, you know, marry both sectors, it's been very informative and insightful, and I believe it will be for others who are listening. So thank you so much for coming, and look forward to another conversation.
Thank you, Raymond, and thank you for having me. And your podcast is great, and I will do my best to sort of share it to everybody.
Very kind. Thank you so much.
All right. The
legal tech landscape is constantly evolving, and there is a world of opportunity waiting for those who are eager to explore it. Whether you are a law student or a seasoned legal professional, embracing technology can open you up to new horizons in your career. And there you have it. Another enlightening episode comes to a close. We hope you found today's discussion on legal tech both inspiring and informative. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the TechSep Podcast. See you in the next episode. I'm not afraid to